Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning L'Iluy Nishmasa and L'Zecha Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashalom, may her neshama merit a continuous aliyah in the schus of the Torah learning that we will share this evening. And every week, we thank the Fron family very much for their continued dedication to the Torah learning that we share here together. So I just want to mention Esther Pitterman is joining us on Zoom. It's not so often that I learn with three generations in one evening. I just came from a different shir where I learned with your daughter-in-law and granddaughter came over to introduce themselves to me. It was very nice. And now, Baruch Hashem, I'm learning with you. So you should have a lot of nachas from them, and we should continue to learn Midor the Torah together. So let us continue on with our learning. We're still talking about the title of the chapter is Removing Obstacles to Conditional Love. The subheading is two reasons why we cannot evaluate if something is a kindness. So we spoke last time about Rav Shem Shon Frohl Hirsch, 243. We spoke last time about Rav Shem Shon Frohl Hirsch's beautiful interpretation from Parshas Ki Tisa that there is a place with me, Hashem says. So if you stand next to Hashem, Kaviyacha, from that vantage point, everything is clear. The class before that, we spoke about Kili Olam Chasto, that understanding that his kindness is hidden. Kili Olam Chasto doesn't only mean because his kindness is eternal, which is how it's usually translated, but Olam, the world, is from Ne'elam, hidden. And that's the topic that we have been discussing. We are going to continue to discuss this evening. So you asked me a page, top page 243. It's actually very close to the end of this chapter. This is chapter 23. I'm not sure if we're going to finish it this evening. I don't think so, but we're getting there. According to the first perspective that we mentioned, when a person evaluates an event, he must believe it's an act of kindness, except he doesn't have the totality of the details to see how it's kindness. So in other words, remember, it goes back to the example he gave the baby with the bleach. The father says, do not drink the bleach, because that's really a kindness. You're not letting the child drink it. The child does not have the totality of details to see how it's so. But he has to believe that if his father tells him don't drink that, even though it looks like water or maybe Sprite or a flat Sprite, it has to be for his good, even though you don't have the totality of the details to see. So that's us vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. Something looks like, you know, terrible, but we know that in some way it is good. I'm sure that everyone like me saw that Alta Fixler was Nifteres, and I saw this afternoon that her father, a little bit about his hesped that he gave, she was buried on Har HaMenuchos. So I was thinking, so now Britain, now the courts will let her leave. When she was alive, she was a prisoner there, but when she was passed away, Nefteres, now it's okay for her to leave. We don't understand the cheshbonos of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We mamish do not understand. We simply don't have the totality of the details to see how this is an act of kindness. It makes no sense on any level whatsoever. Secondly, according to the second perspective, we don't even have the tools with which to evaluate what is and what is not kindness. So the first one is you don't see all the details. The second one is even if you see all the details, you don't have the tools with which to evaluate what is kindness and what is not kindness. So called the Aved Rachman al-Tav Aved, everything Hashem does is for the good. So it's very hard for us to understand. In the real life, Rachman, it's an example that I just gave. It's very difficult for us to understand how this is possibly a kindness. It's beyond our comprehension, or at least beyond my comprehension. We do not have the totality of the details. And second of all, we don't even have the tools to evaluate that what is and what is not kindness. And in attempting to explain heavenly justice, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuvah, this is evaluated according to Hashem's understanding, and only He knows. So it's not evaluated according to our understanding. According to our understanding, one, we don't have the totality of details, and two, we don't even have the tools to evaluate. So of course it made me think of this week's parsha. Why did it make me think of this week's parsha? For the following reason. Because in Perek Yates of the parsha, in Perek Yates, Parshas Vayera, okay? A lot happens in Parshas Vayera. The Malachim visit Avram and Sarai. They heal Avram, tell her she's going to have a baby, go to destroy Sodom and Amorah. Avram davens for the people of Sodom. The Malachim goes to Sodom. Sodom is destroyed. Lot ends up in the cave with his two daughters, Ammon and Moab. Perechov finds Sarah taken by Avimelech, the king of Gerar. Perechov, Alvi Yitzchak is born. Hagar and Yishmael are sent away. So there's a lot going on. Perechov bases the Akedah. So what specifically did I think of in the parsha in regard to the fact that everything is a kindness, but A, we don't have the totality of details to see how it is so, and B, we might not have the tools with which to evaluate what is and what is not kindness. So in Perek Yud Ches, Hashem says, after the Malachim leaves, Hashem says, "Hamechasa ani me'avram asher ani oseh, am I going to hide from Avram what I'm about to do?" Rashi says, "I'm about to destroy Sodom and Amorah." Rashi says, "Avram was given the name with an extra hey, he's the Avham on Goyim Nisaticha. So will I destroy the children without telling the father? Avram will be a very great nation." And then Avram starts to daven for Sodom and Amorah to be saved. Vayigash Avram. Avram came close, and Rashi says, Hagasha for appeasement, Hagasha for battle, and Hagasha for tefillah. So Avram, and Rashi says, Avram was prepared to do all these things, speak harshly to God and pray to God and appease, so to speak, God, so the people of Sodom and Amorah would not be destroyed. And now he enters into bargaining mode. If there are 50 righteous, will you destroy them? If there are 40, 50 minus 5, 40, 30, 20, 10, all the way down to a minion, will you destroy them? And Hashem says, no, I will not destroy them. But Avur Ha'asara, Avram goes back to his place, and the narrative takes us to Sodom and Amorah. The Malachim visit, the angels visit Lot in his house, and they urge him to leave. The wife turns into a pillar of salt, and apparently on the surface, and this to me is a very clear illustration of what we see here, we don't have the totality of details to see how it's kindness. So Avram davened on a long time, and he was the Avham on Goyim, the father of many nations, and he really davened to the people of Sodom and Amorah to be saved. And then what does the pasuk tell us? V'Hashem him tiras Sodom v'al Amorah gafris v'esh, Hashem rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from before Hashem, from Shemayim, and he overturned these cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and all the vegetation. It's completely destroyed, utter destruction. And his wife turned around and she became a pillar of salt. So, and Avram woke up early in the morning, famous 1927, Yud Tes Chav Zayin. Yeah, what did he do? You're smiling a little.
He went out to talk to Hashem. He went out to go daven.
He what?
Went to daven.
Oh, okay. So Vayashkim Avram Bavoker, Avram woke up early in the morning, Alamakum Asher Amacham Espanei Hashem, to the place where he stood before Hashem. And the Gemara in Brachos, Chafav Amad Bey, this learns out from this pasuk that Avram was Masakin Tfilah Shachris. Okay, Avram went out after destruction. What's the sequence? He davened that they should all be saved. He really pleaded that they should all be saved. He goes to sleep. Everyone is totally destroyed. Man, animal, plant life overturned. The five cities of the plain. What does he do in the morning? He wakes up and he davens. Vayashkif al pnei Sodom v'Amorah. He gazes out over the face of Sodom and Amorah. Val kol pnei eretz hakikar. All the land of the plain. Vayar, and he saw v'hinei ala kitar eretz ki kitar kivshan. It's smoking like the smoke of a furnace. There's nothing there. So, was this a kindness, or his tefillos answered, or were they not answered? So on the surface, it certainly seems like they were not answered. It seems like his tefillos were not answered. Sometimes that happens when we daven for a certain thing, and we don't see that comes to fruition. So we might also think our tefillos were not answered. But what's the very next pasuk? Vayihi b'shacheis Elokim es arei hakikar. It was when God destroyed the cities of the plains. Vayizkar Elokim es Avram. God remembered Avram, Vayishalach et lo mitocha hafecha. Hashem remembered Avram, and he sent Lot away from the destruction, away from the overturning, b'hafoch es ha'arim, when he destroyed the cities where Lot was dwelling. That's a key pasuk. So what does Rashi say? What does it mean, he remembered Avram and saved Lot? Who remembers? What did he remember from Lot? What does Rashi say? I didn't hear.
He did not tell Paro.
When they went down to Egypt by the famine and Perek Yud Beis of Lechucha, and Avram says, Irina Achosiat, Laman Yitav Li Ba'avurech, please say you're my sister, not my wife, so they won't kill me. Lot was standing there. Lot knows that they're actually married, and Lot was quiet. So it's a schar for him being quiet. So Rashi says, Nizkar Shahaya lo yodea shasar ishto shal Avram, v'shamash amar Avram v'mitzrayim al sar al chusihi. I said this already outside, I'm just reading the Lashon Rashi. V'lo gila hadavar. So therefore, Lot had pity, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had pity on Lot. So Rashi says, Mida Kenega Mida. Rashi is quoting Medrash Bereishis Rabba, that it's Mida Kenega Mida. Lot had pity on Avram, so Hashem had pity on Lot. Interesting, let's give another pshat to the pasuk. Because if you look at the pasuk, then why wouldn't it just say, Vayizkra Elokim es Lot. That's not what the pasuk said. If you were paying attention, it says Vayizkra Elokim es Avram. Vayishalech et Lot. He remembered Avram. He sent out Lot. So that's how the Medrash darshans. It must be he remembered Lot according to something that Lot did with Avram. But if you want to tell me you remember Lot, so tell me you remember Lot. Vayizkra Elokim es Rachel, vayiftach es Rachma, vayishma el Elokim. Vayizkra Elokim es Rachel. It doesn't say vayizkra Elokim es Leah, and therefore vayiftach es Rachem Rachel. It says vayizkra Elokim es Rachel. And what does Rashi say? Paraglamid. What does Rashi say? That shemaso simana lachosa. She gave her signs to her sister. So you want to tell me you remember Lot? So tell me you remember Lot. Why would it bother to say Elokim remembered Avram? Therefore, he sent Lot out of the plains of destruction when he overturned the cities. So, and also know what name for God is used in this pasuk. By the way, I'm in 1929 for your reference. Yud Tes Chav Tes. What name is used here? Vayizkar Elokim. So what name would you expect? Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, utterly destroyed. Everything is overturned. There's clearly no rachamim. If there was rachamim, then Hashem would have saved the cities as per the tefillos of Avram. So what midah is being used here? By evidence, by the fact that it says Shem Elokim, din. It's strict justice. It's midas hadin, strict justice that Hashem is destroying these cities. So it's very strange that it says it's coming to teach us something. Vayizkar Elokim as Avram. Midas hadin, strict justice, remembered Avram. So to answer this kasha, we could go back to Bereishis, Paraches, Pasuk Aleph. What story is that? Paraches or Bereishis? Parshas Noach. Vayizkar Elokim es Noach. Exact same lashon. Vayizkar Elokim es Noach. Vayizkar Elokim es Avram. Vayizkar Elokim es Rachel. Ve'as kol ha'chaye ve'as kol behema asher ito b'teva. The flood is finished raining. Now, Elokim, Midas Hadin, strict justice, remembers, oh, there's a tzaddik in the teva. I remember. So Rashi asks, it's Midas Hadin, strict justice. It should say, Vayizkar Hashem, mercy remembered Noach and saved him and all the animals. Why does it say, Midas Hadin remembered Noach? What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? Anyone in Zoom? What does Rashi say now if you're looking it up in Rashi? What does Rashi say? Vayizkar Elokim es Noach? How could it be that strict justice, the whole world, should it be washed away? So Rashi says, why Zeshe Midas Hadin Hu? This is the name of Midas Hadin, Bereishis 8:1. The Neheb Chala Midas HaRachamim, it's turned into the attribute of mercy, Al Yedei Tfilason Shel Tzadikim. The prayers of the righteous turn strict justice into mercy. That's what Rashi says. Vayizkar Elokim Eis. Hashem remembers in a case where there should be destruction. So it must be, because it uses the name of God, that strict justice, somehow that strict justice was turned into mercy. And what does it say, Rashi? Ayyadei tfilason shal tzadikim. The prayers are just, ah, so now we come to our parsha. What happens right before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? Avram davins, vayigash Avram vayomer. Vayigash, Rashi says, hagashal lepius, for appeasement, hagashal lemechama, for war, hagashal letfilah. And Rashi says, Avram came to do all these three things, appease God, so to speak, go to battle with God, so to speak, that's how hard he davened, and davened, so to speak. So we could apply that Rashi from Bereishis, Parachas, Pasuk Aleph, to this pasuk, vayizkra Elokim es Avram, vayashalech et lo mitocha hafecha. What did he remember about Avram? That he davened, and therefore he sent out Lot. And because Lot was sent out, the next story seems very strange. One of the strangest stories in the Torah. Lot goes up from Tzoar, he dwells in the mountain, his two daughters are with him, they're afraid to live in Tzoar, they live in a cave, him and his two daughters. And the Bechira says to the Tzi'ira, the eldest says to the youngest, our father's an old man, there's no one left on earth. They thought they were all alone. Let's give our father wine to drink. We'll lay with our father and we'll have from our father seed. Let's birth children. So the plan works on the first night. The eldest daughter sleeps with him. The plan works on the second night. The youngest daughter sleeps with him. And Ammon and Moab are born. Or I should say Moab and Ammon. So why is this so significant? Why is the Torah telling us this very strange detail of incest? Why? Because who's going to come from this? Rus HaMoaviah. Rus HaMoaviah. And who comes from Rus HaMoaviah, of course? David HaMelech, and who comes from David HaMelech? At Tzemach Dor Avdecha, Mehir Sasmiach, Melech HaMashiach. So, I may bring this to you because when I was reading through this piece in the Sefer, I'm preparing for the Shir, and you read that sometimes you don't have the totality of details to see how it's kindness. So it's a perfect example. If you were living in that day and age and you saw the Gadol HaDor who goes, stands and he davens and he's shuckling and he's praying and he's not moving from his place and he's beseeching God, and the next morning you check the news and what do you see? It was all destroyed. So what would you think about his tefillos? They were wasted. They weren't listened to. They weren't answered. God doesn't hear us. Because you don't have the totality of details to see the bigger picture. What's the bigger picture? You have to wait a few generations. You have to wait to Vayhi Bimei Shvod HaShvod HaShoftim. You have to wait till there's a man named David Melech and a woman named Naomi who leave Beis Lachem Yehuda because of a famine. So do we have the totality of details to see God's goodness? It looks like Avram's tefillos were rejected. It looks like they were thrown back at him. It looks like they weren't listened. He wakes up the next morning, he goes back to Davin Shach, says the Gemara. What does he see? Kulo Ashan. It's smoking like the smoke of a furnace. So if it was me, I would think, I'm giving up on Emuna. Thanks. It's the end of our relationship. I'm the God of the door. I discovered you when I was 3, or when I was 40, or when I was 48, depending to which opinion to go with. This is how you pay me back? I brought monotheism to the whole world during the introduction of the Rambam, Teilchos Ovdei Kochavim. It's, in my mind, a beautiful example of the reality that you must believe that what you see is an act of kindness. You can only believe it because you don't know the totality of details to evaluate how it is so. I have no idea how to evaluate that Rachman son, child, was kept prisoner there. She was given American citizenship. The Israeli government intervened. Our courts decided that they're God. It's unfathomable. It's mamish unfathomable. So I do not have the totality of details to see. I can only believe it's an act of kindness. And even more than that, according to the second perspective, sometimes we don't even have the tools with which to evaluate what is and what is not kindness. I look at something, I think this is kindness and this is not kindness. But what it's telling me is that I don't even know how to evaluate what's kindness and what is not kindness, because it looks like Lot in the cave with his 2 daughters is not kindness. But it really is kindness. Matsasi David Avdi, where did I find David, my servant? Says the Medrash. The Medrash says, everyone was busy. Yosef is busy mourning that he was just sold. Yaakov is busy mourning that his favorite son is lost. Reuven is busy mourning because he dropped the ball and didn't bring Yosef home. Yehuda is busy mourning because he also didn't bring, and the brother said, it's your fault we sold Yosef. He told us to sell him. You would have told us to bring him home. Your Malchus, we would have listened to you. Everyone's busy with their own business, and God said, I'm also busy. You know what I'm busy with? Matsasi David Avdi. You know where I found David, my servant, in the relationship with Yehuda and Tamar? I found David. Because Yehuda and Tamar have Zarach and Peretz, and if you look at the end of Megillas Rus, you see their lineage, because from Yehuda and from Rus, you have King David. So I, one, do not have the totality of details to evaluate, because if I was Avram, I would say, I'm throwing in the towel. We're done. I recognized you when you were 3. You came to me when I'm 75, and really, this is what you just did? I'm davening? Vayizkar Elohim es Avraham. Midas Hadin remembered Avram. How did Midas Hadin remember Noach? Zoshe Midas Hadin, who says Rashi. V'nepach l'midas harachamim al yedei tfilasan shel tzadikim. So we have a principle that the tefillah of the righteous turns a gezerah, a decree of justice, to mercy. But even though it's mercy, we don't always see it. It looks like Avram's tefillahs were not remembered. And it certainly doesn't look like a kindness that Lot is taken advantage of in the cave by his 2 daughters. But from that relationship of incest, Klal Yisrael will be redeemed. So do we possibly have the perspective how to evaluate what is and what is not kindness? So we must believe that in some realm and in some way, this is an act of kindness beyond what I can understand. And that's why the Rambam writes, this is evaluated according to Hashem's understanding. Only he knows. We simply do not have the perspective to know and to see. It doesn't mean maybe for you, I don't know. It doesn't mean it makes the pain easier when you see something, but at least you have to know that in some realm of beyond my understanding, because I don't have the tools to grasp, but some degree of kindness. If Avram would have given up here, what would have happened to Klal Yisrael? But he didn't give up because he was the Ma'amin who believed that even though it looks like my prayers were destroyed, it looks like my prayers were unheard, in some way I know they were heard, in some way I know there's a kindness here. And the answer is Vayizkra Elokim es Avram, Vayishalach et Lot. I'm now going to quote a very powerful piece from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal. Okay, Rav Salvechik speaks about this idea of amunah, faith. In order to somehow accept that everything is goodness from Hashem, who is the Tov HaMeitiv, the one who is good and does good, we have to have faith. We have to have a degree of amunah, a large degree of amunah. That's one of the main lessons of the life of Avraham Avinu. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, in this Kol Ram, O Space, it's a very lengthy, very, very beautiful, in-depth piece, but he says that all the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu, all 10 were nisyonos of amunah. They were all nisyonos that challenged his amunah. So even if on the surface it looks like Lach Lecha was a nisyon of having to move when you're 75, it's hard to make aliyah when you're 75. And the war looks like a nisyon of a Jew has to go to battle, and it's hard for a Jew to be a warrior. Kol Yaakov, a Jew likes to sin in the tent of shame and the tent of Aver and learn Torah. On the surface, they seem like other nisyonos. Really, says Rav Moshe, he explains it there, Kol Ram Ois Bezer. It's such a very lengthy piece and a very beautiful, deep piece. All the nisyonos were one. They were challenges to his amunah. It showed a stira in what God said and what God did. And then the 10 were branches from one nisayon. One nisayon, not 10 nisyonos. It was 10. I know I'm not contradicting the Mishnah, obviously. It was 10 expressions, according to Rav Moshe's interpretation, of one challenge. The challenge of faith. So not only was Avraham Avinu father of the Ummi Israelis, and not only was the first person to do Bris Milah, the first one to make Aliyah, the first one to recognize God, the founder of our nation, he's also the Ma'amin par excellence. So now I go to a very powerful piece by Rabbi Salavichak. It is not implausible, says the Rav, it is not implausible, to link the verb, the shoresh, Aleph Mem Nun. Aleph Mem Nun is the shoresh for Amuna, faith, to aim mother. If you shorten Aleph Mem Nun even more, you're going to get Aleph Mem. What's Aleph Mem? Ima, mother. It is not implausible to link the verb omein, Aleph Mem Nun, or omein, amuna, to aim mother. Since, why? She is the foremost teacher of and believer in her child. A mother will never despair of her child. Nor will she spare. If you do not have children yet, you must still listen, because we're going to bring a very strong Mr. Haskell. This is relevant to everybody that's learning with us tonight or listening on Mayu Torah. So don't shut off the shir. Stay tuned. A mother will never despair of her child, nor will she spare any effort to further the child's welfare. Also, even if you're not a mother yet, all of us had a mother or have a mother. So this also applies to us as the child, no matter how old you are, and the mother that you had or have. A mother will never despair of her child, nor will she spare any effort to further the child's welfare. Even though she does not expect to live long enough necessarily to enjoy the fruits of her toil and sacrifice. No one's here forever. She may not live long enough to enjoy the fruits of toil and sacrifice, but nevertheless, she is the foremost teacher and believer in the child. The aim, the ima, is the foremost ba'alas emuna in her progeny. She will never despair of her child. She will never spare any effort to further her child's welfare. The mother is the most unselfish being. Her faith in her child can never be shaken. This is from the Sefer Abraham's Journey. We're going to talk about Avram, okay? She is the most unselfish being. Her faith in her child can never be shaken. She will patiently try to do some particular thing for her child over and over. Failure, however disappointing, does not weaken her determination to bring out the best and the finest in her child. I have to tell you something. I'm telling you, even if you do not have children, that this is relevant to you as a child or your mother. I had a doctor appointment on Tuesday, yesterday. So I was on FaceTime with my mother. So I said, Ma, I'm going to the doctor just for a checkup. So she says, tell the doctor you're beautiful and very smart. So I said, Ma, do you really want me to tell the doctor that? It was hysterical. She said, beautiful and very smart. I said, Ma, she said, no, I'm just joking. But okay, so no matter what age you are, if you don't have children yet or grandchildren or great-grandchildren yet, you have a mother or you wouldn't be here. Or you had a mother and you wouldn't be here. The mother's the most unselfish being. She has more faith in her child than anyone else. And the faith in her child, I did not tell the doctor. My mother said to tell you. I'm very, because I didn't want to not do kibbutzim. So I said, Ma, do I really have to tell the doctor? So she said, no. If he should have said yes, I would have. Her faith in her child can never be shaken. I would have. She will patiently try to do some particular thing for a child over and over again. Since failure, however disappointing, sometimes we fail as children to our parents. We do. Again, no matter what your age. But the failure of her child does not weaken her determination to bring out the best and the finest in the child. We do fail against our parents from time to time. We're human beings. Maybe you never did. I don't know. We're human beings. The aim, the ima, the mother, is unconditionally committed to her child, in whose capabilities she has unrestricted trust. I'm telling you, just yesterday, that's what she told me, I should tell the doctor. It's hysterical. The aim is unconditionally committed to her child, in whose capabilities she has unrestricted trust. The believer, meaning the ima, the omein, must engage in a great educational task. What is the great educational task that all of our mothers engaged in? To pick up the debris of a shattered world and reconstitute our harmonious creation. Very often the child finds themselves socially shattered, educationally shattered. Growing up is fraught with pitfalls. That was one of the curses to Isha. Rashi says, it's not just tsar leida, it's not just that you'll have pain in childbirth. Rashi says, it's also tsar gidul banim. There's the pain of raising the child. So why doesn't the mother give up? It's part of the curse to all of humanity from the beginning of time. The mother cannot give up because the root, the smaller root of amen, amunah, is aim, mother. And her great educational task is to pick up the debris of a shattered world and reconstitute a harmonious creation. The mother seizes human talents and capabilities in an ongoing array of deeds. The believer is committed to the reconstruction of human society. So is your mind starting to go to Avram? Moshe Rabbeinu describes himself as an omein. We're not only here talking about a biological mother. Moshe described himself, Parshas Baha'alos HaPerek Yir Aleph. He says, am I the nursemaid? Kasher Yisa HaOmein Es HaYoneg Ani El Daltihu. Did I give birth to the people? Must I carry them like an Omein, nursing mother, carries the Yoneg, nursing child? And what's the answer? Does Moshe have to carry us like a nursing mother carries her baby? Yes. So how does this all apply to Avram Avinu? The believer, Avram is the believer, is committed to the reconstruction of human society and the catharsis of the individual. The element of faith, I skipped a little bit, even though it's worth reading the whole thing, the element of faith is indispensable for any pedagogical endeavor. I'm going to repeat it. Especially, it speaks to me, not just as Baruch Hashem, a biological mother, but in the realm of pedagogy. What's pedagogy? Teaching. The element of faith is indispensable for any pedagogical endeavor. When the teacher steps into the classroom, what's the first thing the teacher needs? Faith in their children, in those students. What did you say?
I said Siyata
Dishmaya. I can't hear.
Siyata Dishmaya. You have to pray before a little prayer. You ask for Siyata Dishmaya before you go in to teach.
What is
Siyata
yes, Siyata Dishmaya, 100%. Her midos, though, the Rabbi's midos, why must he exhibit faith in the child and the students in his classroom? The element of faith is indispensable for any pedagogical endeavor. A teacher who lacks confidence, listen carefully, A teacher who lacks confidence that his pupil is able to grasp the ideas he is teaching will never be successful. If you walk into the classroom and before you've even started, you lack confidence in your students. If a parent lacks confidence in their Talmid, if Moshe lacks confidence in Am Yisrael, they will never be successful. The first ingredient for any pedagogical endeavor is the element of faith. A teacher who lacks confidence in his pupil, that he is able to grasp ideas, will never be successful. Now, obviously, you can't go to second grade class and take a physicist from Albert Einstein University and have faith that those kids will understand the way he presents on a university level. So yes, the teaching must be on the level of the students, but once it's on the level of the students, you have to have faith that they will believe you. The teacher must also have faith that the learning will have a moral impact upon his disciple. To understand that the Rav, this is called Abraham's journey. He's talking about who? Why did Avram daven for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? 13:13, Bereishis. V'anshei Sodom ra'im v'chataim la'Hashem. Ma'or. They were very wicked. They were very sinful. Rashi and Unkos both say they were wicked and sinful with both their bodies and their money. Why is he davening for them? Who cares? Vayigash Avram. Av tispet tzaddik im rasha. You're going to destroy tzaddik with a rasha? Why is he bothering? You don't have other things to do. Convert other people. A teacher who lacks confidence will never be successful. Furthermore, he must have faith that he will have a moral impact upon the disciple. I want you to think of either yours or your child's teachers who were more successful and less successful, the ones that the kids liked and the ones that the kids didn't like. What was part of the difference? I know a story of a particular student who struggled with different situations. And there was a very, very special teacher. And there was a very, very special teacher who came to the summer camp bus as it was departing with homemade cookies for that student. So you might not remember what this teacher exactly taught you or didn't teach you. As you get older, hopefully you remember, but pedagogy as well. But you also have to remember if the teacher believes in you or not, and believes in their teachings, and believes that the student can absorb what is being taught. Knowledge is a redemptive and therapeutic performance. The acquisition of knowledge is redemptive and therapeutic. On the other hand, that same student once had a teacher who made them right. This is a true story. I will not be, whatever, very demeaning to write lines that were very demeaning on the blackboard. The child was made fun of. Which teacher is more effective? Which teacher is remembered Latova? Listen to the next line.
Chocolate chip cookies.
What?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Correct. And which one do you think the mother of that child appreciated more and thought kindly of more? The one who embarrassed the child with those sent, I'm not even going to say it because it's going online, it's being recorded, so I don't even want to say what. It's not bad lashon, but I just don't want anyone to recognize it. Listen to the next line. A pessimist must never do any teaching or be entrusted with the care of a child. A pessimist must never do any teaching or be entrusted with the care of a child, since his efforts are doomed to failure from the very outset. When we think of our great leaders, Avram Avinu, this is a piece on Avram, okay? It has a lot of ramifications in terms of us and our mothers and us and our children. There's a lot of ramifications when we think of different teachers in our lives, but the Rav is really speaking about our leaders, particularly Avram Avinu. A pessimist must never do any teaching, nor may he be entrusted with the care of a child, because his efforts are doomed to failure from the very outset. All educational activities are identical with mothering. For what is mothering if not displaying unlimited faith in a child? I'm speaking to Michal Arutz. Every mother and every teacher should hang this up somewhere where they could review it every day. all educational activities are identical with mothering. For what is mothering if not displaying unlimited faith in the child? And that is why Moshe could describe himself as an omein, Aleph Mem Nun, Aleph Mem. We're not talking about biologically male or female, father or mother. We're talking about the mother personality as represented in the teacher personality. What do we call Moshe? We don't call Moshe Avinu, we call him our teacher. Moshe Rabbeinu. A teacher must have unlimited faith. What has Moshe spent his whole career doing? Davening for Am Yisrael. He's always asking God to give them another chance. He's always reteaching, no matter what they do. What is mothering and what is the educational activity, says the Rav, if not displaying unlimited faith in that child? Avraham had such faith. The proof is his intercession on behalf of Sodom and Amorah. Avram asked God not to destroy Sodom, not to destroy the satellite cities, not to destroy the cities of the plain. If there were even 10 righteous people in each city, how do you pronounce this? Prima facie, prima facie, Latin, prima facie, face value. We do not understand Avram's request. Why shouldn't the Almighty punish the wicked and save the righteous? Let's say there's 10 righteous. So take them out with Lot and punish the wicked. Who cares? Let them die. Why did Avram intercede with God that no harm should be done to the entire city? Save all of them because there's 10, but they're all wicked. Where's the logic? Avram believed that the righteous would, in the course of years, change the whole structure of the city. He believed that those 10 would be the teachers who would change the whole structure of the city if God spared the city on behalf of the 10. The righteous would succeed, Avram believed, in bringing the wicked back to God. So I'll tell you, I read through this whole Sefer. I learned through this whole Sefer years ago. How do I find what I want? By the way, I've told you this before, no? How do I find? Yeah, so there's, you see these blank white pages in the back of the Sfarim? They're always Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. So if I ever buy a Sefer that doesn't have any white pages, I'm always like, what are these people thinking? I need all these blank white pages. Look, look, look. You see, they're all page number and notation of what I read on that page and what I read. This safe happens to have a lot of blank pages in the front. Very good. I do not remember when I was preparing the Shira and I thought of, we don't have the tools to evaluate God's goodness. And it, sorry, I just moved my computer, mistake. And it reminded me of Avram davening, because certainly in that case, we don't have the tools at face value, like the Rav says, prima facie. We don't have the tools to value why that's a kindness. So I picked up Abraham's journey, because it reminded me of Avram on praying this year, and I started to look through my own notes. What does the Rav have to say? I do not, to my memory, think they ever taught this before. I do not particularly remember reading it before, to be honest. Sometimes I remember what I read, so I know what safer I'm looking for it for. I don't remember reading it, but it is exceedingly powerful and exceedingly important. It applies to those of us who are mothers slash grandmothers slash great grandmothers. It applies to every single one of us because you wouldn't be alive without your mother. So we're all children, no matter what decade of life you're in. It applies to our leaders, biblical personalities, and Rabbanim. And it applies to our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why I started off, as soon as I started talking about mothers, I said, if you're not a mother yet, don't hang up the shear. It also applies to our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because he, Shachazarta b'nishmasi b'chama rab amuna secha, Hashem is also a Baal Amuna, so to speak. Baal Amuna, Amuna, master of faith. Faith can be shortened to aim. In a sense, he is like the mother, the pedagogue who never gives up on us. When you open your eyes every morning, it's a famous Vara Modani. I'm sure you all know this. It's not a chiddush, I don't think. Modani lefanacha me'achai v'kam shosarta b'nishmasi b'chama, period. I'm thankful before you, not I. Thankful am I before you, the living and everlasting King, for returning my soul to me with compassion, period. Rabba Amuna Secha, what are we saying? I have mercy in you, that's not what I just said. Rabba Amuna Secha, how great is your Amuna? What am I saying? you have a Emunah in me, God. So let's say yesterday I messed up. Yesterday I was impatient with my children. Yesterday I didn't make a Kiddush Hashem in a Shir. Yesterday I don't know if I davened properly. Yesterday I didn't make my brachos. Yesterday I did X, Y, and Z not right. So, but he gave me back my neshama. Rabbi Emunah Sacha, Hashem never gives up on us. He's the ultimate Omein. He's the ultimate Malame Torah La'amo Yisrael. He's the ultimate teacher who has confidence that his teachings will be successful. He's the ultimate teacher. This isn't me saying this. We say in Birkas HaShachar every single morning by Birkas HaTorah that Hashem is the Malame Torah La'amo Yisrael. We call Hashem a teacher. I'm not telling you this. Look on your sitter. He is the Malamed, the teacher of Torah to his nation Israel. He has Emunah in me. He is the Rabbi Emunah Sacha. He's the greatest Baal Emunah. He's the greatest aim, so to speak. Because a mother never gives up on her child. A pessimist can never be a teacher. One who believes his teachings will not be heard or absorbed cannot be our leader. And our God has faith in every single one of us, even if yesterday wasn't such a good day. Avram held the view that a teacher is all-powerful and there's nothing he cannot do, not in an egotistical sense, but a proper teacher can infuse his students with the kochos, the strengths they need to succeed. That is why Hashem said to Avram said to Hashem, Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yasha mishpat. Rav quotes it in English. Shall the judge of the earth not act justly? Avram was saying to Hashem, remember he va'igash Avram for appeasement, for melchama, and for tefillah. And Rashi said Avram did all three. He went forth to appease God, he went forth to do battle with God, and he went forth to pray to God. Avram was saying to God, there is hope for every human being. That must be the outlook of every parent. It must be the outlook of every teacher slash rabbi. It must be the outlook of our leaders. And it's the outlook of God. So Avram was saying to Hashem, don't you remember? You're the Malamed. There is hope for every human being, including the most wicked. This is so beautiful. If you have the Sefer, sometimes people reach out to me after listening on YU Torah, what's the source? So it's Abraham's Journey, pages 98 through 99. It's the Rav's, it's a publication of Ma'otzer HaRav. It's the publication house that, it's Rav Salvechik. There's hope for every human being, including the most wicked. Avram exhibited, ready? Limitless patience. Why am I smiling? Because it's another midah that an omein, baal amuna, ima, needs to have. Teacher, mora. Avram exhibited limitless patience. And disregarding the injustice and vulgarity with which he was treated from time to time, Avram continued to preach in the name of God. They were so sinful in Canaan. Rav Moshe talks about it in the same O space that I quoted in Qur'an. But he continued to preach. He didn't give up. In contrast, Noach lacked faith in humanity, and therefore he failed as a teacher. We don't see Noach ever daven, so please, okay. It's going to lead to stira. How could Rashi say in Bereishis 8:1 that the prayer of the righteous turns if we don't see that Noah ever prayed. So at the end, if there's time, because we're already out of time, I'll tell you the answer. But right now, I don't have time. But there's an answer, so it's not a stira. Noah lacked this kind of faith, and therefore he failed as a teacher, and therefore he's not the father of the Umi Yisraelis. God said, I'm destroying everyone. So Noah said, okay. Yeah, I want to finish okay? Okay. And I'm already going to be out of time. I'll take comments after, please. In a word, the religious leader is an instructor. The religious leader is a teacher, and the religious leader is an educator charged with the mission of completing God's work. What is the religious leader? An instructor. You instruct others through your behavior. A teacher. You pass on the Torah of God. And you are an educator who has to look at the totality of the person in front of you. And that's also the role of a mother. Tell the doctor you're very pretty. What did she say? Very pretty and very smart.
Beautiful and very smart.
Beautiful and very smart. Spoken like only a mother would. He said, man, do I really have to tell the doctor? She said, and very smart. He is the helper and companion of God, both the teacher educator, leader, and mother. So when he says he again, we're not only talking about, this piece is not only about a biological mother, not at all. Avram was a mother, Moshe was a mother. We see from the Psukim, God is our mother, the ultimate. He is Amunah and me, Rab Amunah Secha, break down Amunah, even smaller, aim. He is the helper and companion of God through a dedicated effort, wherein the teacher slash leader slash mother gradually enlightens the ignorant. The mother gradually enlightens the ignorant. If it was up to the child and you never taught them to use a fork and knife, they would think, how would they know if you never taught them? Just a teeny example, it's not so teeny, you have to have good table manners, that they could just stuff their face. How do they know not to put their face to the plate like a dog, I'm not making a joke, and lick up the food? You've never seen a child take a plate and lick the ketchup? Yes. Maybe not. How do they know not to take their fingers and eat? The work of the teacher, educator, mother, leader, is to gradually enlighten the ignorant. Gradually. It's a slow process. The child doesn't go from the age of 0 to the age of 20 overnight. It's a gradual process of education. It is their role to ennoble the vulgar and the coarse. It is their role to reveal to man his great capability. It's our mother's job, no matter how old you are, to tell you you're very pretty and very smart. You always need that koach. You always need that chizuk. It's the teacher's role when the child is struggling, not to embarrass them in front of the class and make them write all those lines, but to go to the bus and give them a package of chocolate chip cookies. It's Moshe's role to say, am I a nursemaid who has to carry like a nursing mother carries her infant? And God said, yes! It's Avram's role to daven for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, because a pessimist can never be entrusted with the care of others. And it's God's role, Kavi Acha, I love Torah. And it's God's role to do all those things for us, even when we mess up a little bit. And that's why Avram daven for Sodom and Gomorrah. It is the rule, the role of the instructor, teacher, and educator to gradually enlighten the ignorant, ennoble what is vulgar and coarse, and reveal to man his capability and lead him towards a great destiny. It's the role of the mother and teacher and Rabbi, and yes, the Ribono Shel Olam, to let you know what you're capable of, to encourage you, to lead you towards your great destiny. The teacher slash leader, slash mother, must have faith in God. You said the first thing you need is Siyata Deshmaya. At the same time, he has to have faith in man. He is both a ma'amin and an omin. He is a believer, they share the same root, and a nursemaid. He is both patient and courageous. Last sentence, Abraham, our father, was such a person. And so he davened to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah because he believed in them. And the Ribono Shel Olam gives us life every day because he believes in us. And no matter how old you are, in whatever world your mother is in, they shall even be well. She will always think you are very pretty and very smart. And a teacher who does not have faith in his students should never enter the classroom, because a pessimist cannot lead, nor can he teach. And I must end with the following quote, which I would have already called up on my screen if I had planned to teach it, but I didn't. So just one second. The benefits of having your computer for Zoom. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Rav Soloveitchik says, and I'm going to end with this. I think it's extremely apropos. If I could just find it in my document. I could paraphrase it, but I'd like to say the whole thing. The Rav says every morning in Birkas HaShachar, here we go, we say Hamalami Torah L'Ama Yisrael. I think this is a very apropos way to end Shir. This is from a different sefer of the Rav. Every morning we say Hamalami Torah L'Ama Yisrael. God teaches Torah to his people Israel. Although we perceive, says the Rav, that there are many teachers of Torah, this perception is only superficial. There really is no flesh and blood teacher of Torah. There is one Rebbe, one Rosh Yeshiva, one teacher, and that is the ultimate, Malame Torah L'Ama Yisrael. The voice of God resonates within the voice of every mortal teacher. The Ribbono Shel Olam is our teacher at Sinai and remains our teacher throughout the generations. Do we always have the totality of details to see how it's kindness? I would say more often than not, we don't have the totality of details. But just like Avram believed and Avram daven, so Be'ezrat Hashem, we continue to believe, we continue to daven. The day should come and the goodness will be clearly revealed. Shabbi b'mehir b'yameinu. Thank you so much. May the neshama of Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, merit an aliyah neshama, the zchus of the Torah that we share. I thank everyone for joining in person and everyone for joining in Zoom. Kol tov to all. Vayda tov. Thank you, everyone, and have a good Shabbos.